Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. So today we have the great joy of celebrating the apostles, Saints Peter and Paul. It's a day that is a little special to me, should be more special to me, because of course I grew up in St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Scott, Louisiana, because all the best people are from Scott, right, Deacon? Just so we're clear. Okay. He claims he's from Scott. And we celebrate today these princes of the apostles. And as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, it's not common that we get to do this as a whole family on a Sunday. So it's a thing to celebrate. Normally it's, you know, obviously it falls on a weekday. You know that I love the saints, and you know that I get excited about the saints. And so it can be hard for me to tell you like that these are really important saints, because you've heard me say that numerous times. Let me contextualize this in a way that hopefully will register. I don't just think Peter and Paul are important. The Bible thinks Peter and Paul are important. Saint Peter appears in the New Testament more than anyone except Jesus Christ. More than Mary, more than John the Baptist, way more than Joseph. He's always being talked about. St. Paul wrote half the New Testament. And when we look at the Acts of the Apostles, which is the one thing inspired by God that we have that tells us about the entire early church, these are the two figures that Luke focuses on completely. He talked about Jesus for an entire gospel, then he talks about Peter for half of Acts and Paul for the second half of Acts. God is telling us that even though we may struggle to fully have devotion to them, even though we may not commonly have prayers to St. Peter and Paul, it makes me very sad that some of this faded in the past two centuries from the church. Even though it may not be something that's part of our daily devotion, God is screaming at us that these men are as important as Moses, as important as Abraham, as important as David, that they are pillars of his plan to save the human race. And I want to take that very seriously today. I want to look at, you know, the first and second reading. We'll get to the gospel in a bit. You know, St. Peter here is in jail, and the angel delivers him. And if you're just reading that, you're like, okay, that's nifty. But if you look at what St. Luke is actually doing, clearly doing, he keeps on repeating details from Easter morning and laying them over Peter getting out of jail. The guards outside, the angelic visitation, the gate that opens on its own, just like the rock rolled on its own away from the tomb. There are deliberate echoes that he's saying that this was like, this is a participation, not even just like, this is a participation in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we have St. Paul, who is very clear that he has been poured out like a libation. He has made a sacrifice for God, and that he was sent to proclaim the gospel to all the Gentiles, to all the non-Jews. Which is incredible because, you know, St. Paul was the most Jewish of Jewish people. He was a Pharisee through and through. He was raised up to be the essence, the pinnacle of the Jewish religion. And you know he converted. I mean, he was persecuted in the church and he converted. But then that God would send him not to preach to Jewish Christians, but to preach to Gentiles is phenomenal. Phenomenal. And in fact, Peter was the first one to preach to Gentiles. I don't know that we fully remember that. I struggle to fully remember this. Like, yeah, okay, the wise men came for Epiphany and they were Gentiles. But at no time in his ministry did Jesus ever say, go preach to the Gentiles. He was very clear that his mission was to the Jewish people. He died, he rose, he said, preach to the Jewish people. Before he ascended, he said, preach to the Jewish people. He sent the Holy Spirit down on Pentecost, and they preached to the Jewish people. it isn't until several chapters into Acts that God sends Gentiles to Peter, and God reveals to Peter in a vision, go preach to the Gentiles. That the switch, this act of salvation history, this opening of the kingdom of God to us, I mean, I don't know if you have Jewish heritage, I don't, to us, happened through these apostles. And we should be grateful. And I'd love to tell you all kinds of things about their life, you know, because they're great saints and we're wearing red. I'm wearing red because they both died martyrs. Paul was decapitated and Peter was crucified upside down. But what I want to look at is that kind of sense of their role and their focus, their essence, what their job is in the church and what it symbolizes for us today. In the Creed, we'll do the Nicene Creed today. In the Creed, we're going to say that we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
You'll remember this, yes. I hope that sounds somewhat familiar. Yeah.
What does it mean to be an apostolic church? What does it mean to be an apostolic church? Pope St. John Paul II said it means two things. He was very clear that this meant two things. One is that we maintain the faith of the apostles. And the other is that we maintain the mission of the apostles. That we must both preserve and proclaim. And we see, in a real sense, the image of that in Peter and Paul. So today we hear in the Gospel, Jesus says to Peter, "You are Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church." In the Gospel of Luke, he tells, at the Last Supper, he tells his gathered apostles, I'm going to translate into Cajun so it makes more sense, "Y'all's faith in me will be shaken." He says this to all of them. It's clear in the Greek. And then he says, "But I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you have returned, strengthen your brothers." When you've returned, strengthen your brothers. I mean, you know, Peter chickened out and denied Christ three times, but Jesus forgave him for that. And then there's the whole, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" three times to restore him and strengthen him. But his faith never broke. "I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail." Peter's faith cannot fail. I'm getting to a point here. Peter's faith cannot fail. And those who hold the office of Peter, the popes, their faith cannot fail. What's a quicker way to say that their faith cannot fail? It's infallible. And so when we say that the popes can say things that are infallibly true, it doesn't mean they're creating new things. It means they're continuing the promise that Jesus made to Peter that his faith would not fail. Would not fail. And his role to strengthen his brothers. Because Peter is that rock. And dear brothers and sisters, I need you to understand that we continue to preserve. We preserve the faith that Peter professed today in the Gospel. We preserve the faith that the apostles taught. We preserve the faith that Jesus Christ revealed. And that faith has developed over time, but it hasn't changed. And you may say, "Well, that doesn't make any sense, Father. Development's changed." It hasn't changed into something else. Okay? It didn't become something else. If you take an acorn and you plant it in the ground, as many of you know from your gardens and your lawns, whether you want it to or not, it's going to start becoming an oak tree. The acorn has the DNA, has everything in it to become the oak tree. It develops from acorn into huge oak tree. And so in that sense, I guess there's change. But at no point does the acorn turn into a pine tree. At no point does the acorn turn into, you know, a giraffe. At no point does the acorn turn into a planet. I don't know what else to tell you. The acorn will always become an oak tree. And if you saw a pine tree growing in your yard, you wouldn't think, I bet an acorn caused that. What Jesus handed on to the apostles was the acorn. What you see around you is the oak tree. Unbroken, unchanging development. We grew, but we didn't become something else. And so that first sense of preservation is so important. And you have Paul who did these incredible missionary journeys, four of them, and they were not easy on him. He was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was stoned, it looks like to death, and he rose from the dead at one point. He got an eye infection, of all things, you know, all these different horrible things that happened to him. He gets laid up with an eye infection for like 3 to 6 months. He faces all kinds of rejection, all kinds of threats, and yet he wouldn't stop preaching the word. He wouldn't stop preaching the word. He continued to preach the gospel. And he continued to not just preach the gospel, you know, to his neighbor down the street. He was going to go to every place on the face of the planet if he could. Because the gospel burned in him. And he had to proclaim it. Peter too. But for Paul, it was extravagant. It was extraordinary to see this man throwing himself to the winds to proclaim the kingdom of God. And that's necessary for us too, dear brothers and sisters. We have to proclaim. We have to preserve and proclaim. Because we're part of an apostolic church. We don't have to do like what Paul did. We don't have to be all crazy or anything. But, I mean, maybe if you're called to it. If you're called to it, please go be crazy. But, you know, most of us are called just to share it with the people we know. But we're still called to share it. And we cannot excuse ourselves from either of those. So we say the church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. The church is one. You know that you can't just go found your own church in your living room. You know that's wrong. The church is holy. You know that you can't just show up to Mass and then live a sinful life and not care about the moral rules of Christ. You know this. The church is Catholic. You know that you can't say that the people in Abbeville, the people in Delcombe don't really have the faith because they're that kind of people and they live over there. The church is universal. You know all these things. You would, if I even started to say these things, you would freak out. And yet today, man, how often we fail on the note of apostolic. How often people don't want to preserve the acorn, but think, man, that pine tree looks really nice. Or, you know, Father, it's a new world today. Why can't we be, you know, cherry trees or something. I don't know. They have such pretty blossoms. People get this idea that we can just, change the faith. It's a new world. Change the faith. We can't. It's blasphemous. It's sacrilege. It is horror to deny the faith that Jesus gave to the apostles. And on the other hand, there's such a temptation for all of us, myself included, to say, well, if, you know, if I'm faithful, if I'm living the faith, if I'm practicing my faith, if I'm trying to be a good person, I don't really need to go through the discomfort of talking to other people about it, because people are very easily offended today, and I'm really worried about what the fallout will be. I mean, it is true that it requires a lot of delicacy today. But we can't just say, not my job. We have to preserve and proclaim and preserve as we honor Peter and Paul. as we profess ourselves to be an apostolic church. And so if you struggle with those two things today, and I don't blame you, it's not easy to maintain those two things, especially today. Here's a good day to ask the two heroes who did it best. Because Peter and Paul are alive in heaven, and they love the church on earth. And they're just waiting to be asked. Because they who gave their lives for the church, who gave their lives for the kingdom of God, who gave their lives for Jesus Christ, will be happy to spend their eternities making sure it flourishes now. God bless you all.